Kia ora, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the No Tech Show. Today I'm going to talk to you about search. Please don't feel like you're alone if you find search confusing. A lot of people do. It's one of the most jargon-heavy pieces of digital marketing, I think, that are out there, and it's an important one to understand. So today I'm going to take you through search generally. Then we're going to talk SEO versus SEM, or search engine optimization versus search engine marketing. We'll talk a little bit about reports and how to read those reports. And I'll probably touch on this throughout the episode. We're going to talk a little bit about whether or not you should be investing in it at all. There are definitely some companies that don't need to. It's my dog joining in the background. Companies that probably don't need to be investing in it, or at least don't need to be investing in it as much as they should be. So we'll talk a bit about that and the things to consider when you're thinking about doing it. So first of all, search. So search, I don't know why it's called search. It's called search because that's effectively what it is. You, me, and every other human in the world that has access to this wonderful world we call the internet, we search for things. That's what we do on it. So when we talk about search, we talk about our customers in this instance, in terms of business, we talk about our customers and what kind of keywords and phrases and questions often that they're using to try and find us in terms of our products, our services, and us. So when we talk about search in terms of money to be invested in it, either SEO or SEM, that's what we're referring to as our customers and the kind of phrases that they use. From a history perspective, and I won't bore you too much with the jargon of all of this, but when Web 1 first came about, what happened was every company you can think of realized this was the future when they finally did. And so they all put up information about their companies or their newspaper articles or opinion pieces up on the internet for us to find. Very quickly, it became such a massive amount of information, which is increasing every year in terms of the amount that we put up, that we needed to have some ability to walk our way through it. There may be some of you out there old enough to be remembering those cards we used to go through in the library when you were trying to find a book, those little indexes full of cards. So basically search engines are trying to help us document and card the pieces of information out there so that when we're trying to locate an answer to a question that we have, it's easier to find. Prior to Google coming out in the 90s, so Google is probably the most recognized search engine that's out there. So prior to that, search engines very much just were based on quantity. So their goal was to give you as many results as possible, and results being answers to or phrases that match the kind of phrases you were typing in. Google really revolutionized all of that. And when they came along, they talked about this concept of relevance. So what that meant was instead of just coming up providing you with as many results as possible, they provided you with ones they thought were the most relevant to your question. So that's quite key when you think about it, because if you put in as a from a product perspective, if you're a product seller in your business, there might be reasons that people want that product. But if I just type in, for example, book, I'm going to get a million different results. It might be how to write a book. They might be how to purchase a book. And even in terms of books, it might be fiction or nonfiction. So there's a lot of ways of interpreting that, even just that one phrase. So what Google aims to do and has got more and more tricksy, if you like, with its algorithm over the years, algorithm being how it stacks and sorts all the information on the internet, is to refine that idea of relevance to go, okay, so if someone is looking for a book, how relevant is the website that is selling the book? Is it a bookseller, for example? You know, is the book itself something that is includes phrases like reading? So it just puts a lot of context and things around it to try and make it so that the results that you receive when you that come back to you once you've typed in a phrase in a search engine match as closely as possible what you're looking for. This is a very clever function that they've done. And that's really, as I said, set us up for what we use search engines for today as a business. So search engine optimization. there's a lot of things that come back to, I don't know if you're one of those businesses that have received an unsolicited spam email, scary sounding email talking about critical errors in your website to do with search engine optimization. Don't be too concerned about a lot of them. Make sure that you take it with a grain of salt before you take it to an expert, because usually what they're doing when they is trying to get you to spend money with them to optimize your website in terms of relevance for the results, in terms of results coming up as a result for what your customers are looking for. So effectively, what SEO or search engine optimization means is that your website is an optimal, performing optimally or as best it possibly can and as relevant as possible to what your customers are putting in. So that's back to, if you're a bookseller again, you know, if your website's containing all the keywords and phrases in all the right places that match the keywords and phrases that are being typed in when people look for you. So it's optimizing your website. The next piece is search engine marketing. And effectively what that is, if you think about when you type in to search for something, we'll move on to movies maybe rather than books, spotting the literary nerd that I am. So if you're searching for a movie, you might come up with, say, I want to watch the latest Batman, right? Or Lego Batman in my books. I quite like Lego Batman. If I search for Lego Batman to see at the movies, if there's, say, 5 movie theaters around me, then they'll all potentially come up. So in terms of the results and that they've got it playing in their cinema. So what those movie theaters might do is pay to have their result or their movie theater come up first. So when you look and when you type something in, particularly to Google, what you'll see at the top of those results, at the top of the page, will be it should say add next to it, either at the top. They still sometimes do it at the side as well. But what that means is someone has, a business has paid so that when I type in Lego Movie Batman on now, gosh, that's going to be so dated, an example in a few years. But anyway, my business that's got Lego Batman playing comes up above all of the other results in the page. All of the other results come up as because those websites have been optimized to a keyword phrase like Lego Batman. And those results underneath the search engine marketing ones are what are called organic results. So basically it means it's organically come up without having to pay for it to be seen by me. So those tricksy reports. Well, if you're looking at a report, if you've got one from us, if you're paying for search engine marketing, what you'll probably see first is, or you should see, and you should see first, in the table is a word called impressions. So all impressions means is that is the number of times that the advert that you're paying for has appeared in front of a potential customer or has appeared in front of somebody on the internet. So that means the number of times my ad has been seen. What if you do that as a comparative? For example, if I was a television studio, if you're paying for TV advertising, the number of impressions for them would be the number of people that they calculate are watching the show or watching the channel where my advert appears at that particular time. The difference, of course, between digital and TV is that digital is very data heavy, very data driven, so it can be a lot more accurate in terms of the number of times an ad has appeared. So that's impressions. The next thing you should have in the table is clicks. So what that means is the number of times that someone who's seen that ad in terms of the impressions has actually clicked on the ad. So the next piece after that that you should be looking for is what's called the CTR or click-through rate. And that's basically the ratio of the number of people out of the number of impressions or number of people that the ad has appeared in front of, how many people out of that number have actually ended up clicking on it. So those numbers can be quite low. But again, bear in mind, if you compare it to something like a TV ad, it doesn't necessarily mean just because you've seen a TV ad for, say, Lego Batman or a sports movie that I'm going to go out straight away after that and go and look at it or go and purchase it. what it's done in terms of search marketing is it's put the fact that my business caters for that need that you're searching for in front of you. So that's the next piece. Often what you'll also see in those reports will be the cost per click, or CPC. And I'd be just a little bit cautious here, because this is something that search engine marketing companies focus on a lot. Of course, it is important. I mean, how much your cost per lead is, like how much you spend per ad being clicked on, because that's when you pay. But those are often, we're talking about dollars and cents. So what's more important, or most important about that, is the type of people that you are getting through to your website. So the type of people who've seen the ad as an impression and then clicked on it and then come through their website are quality people, so not tire kickers. Those people are called people who click on ads in the online world is called traffic. So what search engine marketing companies will often refer to as the amount of traffic they're sending to your website, or cars that they're sending your way. And what that means is the number of people they're sending to your website. What's important is to make sure that the people that are being sent to your website are people you actually want there. So as an example, if I'm a movie theater, I don't want people who are looking for, Band-Aids to come to my website, unless I happen to be selling Band-Aids behind the counter. But I do want people who are looking for movies. So just be a little bit careful about that and make sure that their sole focus of the search marketing company isn't just about getting those costs down. What you really want to be looking for from your search engine marketing company, if you are doing it, is to be getting the insights from them in terms of what's working and what's not. I don't actually see this in many reports, which is really disappointing, but many of those reports that you get that contain all those great metrics about how many times it's been seen, impressions, how many times it's been clicked on, etc., can be almost automatically generated from the tools that they're using. What you really want from those specialists that are looking at these ads and placing different costs and budgets and things behind them is, what do they recommend? Like, so what are their insights if you've been doing it for a quarter or year on year? Now, what do they think? How does this compare to last year, the same kind of time? Okay, so we've been running this type of ad now for 3 months. We've seen this amount of people or traffic come through the website. This has been the behavior since they got there. What do they think you should do next? What are those recommendations? So that's the stuff to make sure that you're getting from them. How search engine marketing companies work is they will pay, they'll charge you for the ad that they're putting in, but they also do charge you for the thinking. That's the percentage that comes on top. So unless you are someone who really deeply understands digital marketing and deeply understands search marketing and also has the time, I'd suggest to kind of go through it and provide, understand the recommendations yourself. Try and make sure that you're spending that percentage budget or cost for them to deliver it, and you're getting those insights back. It's really, really important, because otherwise you can spend lots of money and not really be getting anywhere. And your search marketing company, I hear this a lot, will be saying, oh, well, we're getting the cost down for you. And it's like, but okay, what does that mean? What's next? What happens? Whenever I work with a company and we do search marketing, I always get both the digital marketing company or the search marketing company in the room at the same time of talking about the reports from the website company. So if you've got someone looking at your website reporting, so Google Analytics being a good example of that, what that will also give you is what's happening when people visit your website. So the really good reason for having those two groups in the room with you or reporting on things together as a team is they should be focused on the bigger funnel of the full sales funnel of customers, potential customers seeing an advert in whatever way you've done it, be it search marketing or be it email. And then what's the behavior of those people when they hit the website? Are they browsing? Are they just looking? Are they clicking on a button? Are they, buying now, or are they going away to think about it some more? And then if you can get both of those teams to talk to you about the insights that they have and their recommendations, you can get a good test and learn cadence happening and seeing what works and what doesn't. It's important. Yeah, I think too, it's important to remember here that everyone who's visiting your website is also human. I think we forget with all this data that they're just people too. It's very rare to, I think it used to be years ago, it was something like 5.6, I think, ads you had to see before you would actually purchase on something. But I'm sure it's much, much more than that now, given all of the different adverts you see in a day. So just because someone hasn't purchased something once, and that doesn't mean there aren't more opportunities that they'll come back, or that that's a failure. If you've got a good amount of people coming through to your website that you feel from search marketing that you feel are good potential customers, or what's called high quality traffic, so people who are coming to your website that may be interested, good customers. The other thing you can think about is what's called remarketing. So your search marketing company can look at this as well. What remarketing is effectively, once I've left a website having looked at a product or service, I then get ads shown to me around the internet that also talk, that are from that same business. The most blunt way of doing this, and no doubt you would have had this yourself, is say you're looking at some golf clubs on a website. All of a sudden, everywhere you go on the internet, you see an ad for that same set of golf clubs. That's a very blunt way of doing it. And the reason I say blunt is, you know, if you think about if you think about someone who's looking to buy a product or service, you're at several stages in your mind about it. You know, if you're someone who's thinking it through, not necessarily so much buying an ice cream from the dairy, but more we're thinking about particularly higher end products. I don't like a stereo or something like that. You may look at it once, and then you'll be considering, okay, is this going to be right for me? Is this right for my family? Can I afford it? What kind of stuff do I want? So it's worth thinking about, once you've got someone through to your website, and then they leave and they're still maybe thinking about it, what will be the thing that might get them to get over the line on it? Like, is it price? Is it quality? Is it something that's usually either an emotional or a rational driver that will trigger them one way or the other? So emotional being like well-being, so well-being or my family or something that will make me feel good, versus rational, which is more about dollars and cents and savings and those kind of things. So get your team together if you can, and have a play. You know, don't be too concerned or too caught up in the nuts and bolts of it. Make sure you're getting insights if you are spending money with a search marketing company. And then, as I promised, like through this chat, I think it's also really interesting and important to think about how much you're spending and do you need to. You know, if you're a fast-moving consumer good type company, or if you sell a product that people are actively searching for, then definitely it's worth appearing in front of them and making sure that you're saying, you're looking for this product, I sell that. And come up in a way, or when I say come up in a way, make sure that your ad is speaking the same kind of language that they are. If your business, on the other hand, is largely driven by referral, so people are really just looking for, you have been told about your website already or know about you already, or a friend has told them and they're just finding you, you're less likely to, it doesn't mean search isn't important, but it means you're less likely to have to spend money on something like a product or like search marketing, because it's, or search optimization, because it's not the primary driver of your business in terms of lead generation. Okay, so that's search. I'll be talking about this a little bit more with a colleague of mine, just to kind of unpack what she's thinking, and that should come up in December, so look out for that one. If I've missed anything on this podcast, please shout out, send me an email at heyyou@thenotechshow.com. And of course, as always, if you have a question, no matter how big or small, you are unlikely to be the only one. Please get in touch. Thanks.